Okay, if you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, please join me in Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah is in the Old Testament. Go towards the middle of your Bible and work your way back to the left a little bit, and you will run into this wonderful book, Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. Just to piggyback real quick right off of what Brittany said, tonight, as a family, we're having our quarterly family meeting, and if you are a member of this church, we invite you to come back. This is a time of celebration as we hear from other members, as we pray together, as we look at this past quarter and all that God's done. So if you're a member of this church, we invite you, please come back and be a part of tonight in the fellowship hall. It's going to be an awesome time. As we look at the book of Nehemiah, and we see the very first six chapters, the people of God are rebuilding the wall surrounding Jerusalem. And then we get to the second half of Nehemiah, chapter 7, all the way through 13, and we see that God is building his people. And we land here today in Nehemiah chapter 8, and we see one of the greatest revivals ever recorded in the Word of God. Speaking of revival, J.I. Packer says, "Christians in revival are accordingly found living in God's presence, attending to his word, feeling acute concern about sin and righteousness, rejoicing in the assurance of Christ's love and their own salvation, spontaneously constant in worship, and tirelessly active in witness and service, fueling these activities by praise and prayer." Do we need revival across our land today? Do you need revival in your own heart and life today? Lee Robertson says, "Let us return to the basic things of the Word of God and prayer and soul winning and revival. Let us pray, O God, send a revival, let it begin in me." You see, revival must start with the people of God. Revival must start here. Revival must start with us. Henry Blackaby says, "During true revival, thousands of lost people are suddenly swept into the kingdom of God. Scenes of the lost coming to the Savior in great and unprecedented numbers are common." I don't know about you, but I want to see thousands of lost people suddenly swept into the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but I desire to see the scenes of the lost coming to the Savior in great and unprecedented numbers. And in here in Nehemiah chapter 8, we see a revival start to take place as the people of God respond to the Word of God. In chapter 7, there is a census. And chapter 7 tells us that there are some 50,000 people gathered. Point number one, in a season of revival, there is an eager longing for the Word of God. There is an eager longing for the Word of God. Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 8. Chapter 7 tells us that there are some 50,000 people gathered. And we get to chapter 8, verse 1. "And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month." So get this picture in your mind. There are 50,000 people. And the verse 1 says that they gathered as one man to worship. And as the people of God gathered as one man to worship, notice what they didn't say. They didn't say, "Ezra, bring us a joke." They didn't say, "Ezra, tell us a story. Entertain us. Ezra, give us the dog and pony show." They didn't say, "Ezra, we don't like this coffee." They didn't say, "Ezra, we didn't like the music that you just sang." They didn't say, "Ezra, where's the donuts today?" Notice what they said. They said, "Ezra, bring the book. Bring the law." Bring the book of Moses. Bring God's word. You see, the people of God told Ezra, they said, bring the Bible. And ultimately, this is what we should want as the people of God gather. Ultimately, what you should want for me, I hope, is that you would bring the word. You see, the people of God, they longed for the word. And this was the prelude to the start of a great revival. Did you know that many nations around the world do not have access to the word of God like you and I have access to the word of God? As a matter of fact, in many nations around the world, it is illegal to have copies of the word of God like you and I have copies of the word of God. And yet in many of these nations, the word of God is advancing. The word of God is going forth. The word of God is growing because the people in these four nations, they are longing for the word of God. And we're seeing great revivals taking place in all of these lands where the gospel is illegal. Take a look at these Chinese Christians as they receive copies of the word of God for the very first time. I don't know about you, but every time I see that video, I get convicted. I love what she said. This is what we needed most. This is what we needed most. We didn't need a building. We didn't need this and that. We needed the Word of God. We needed the Word of God. Do you long for the Word of God? You see, whenever we long for the Word of God, ultimately we desire the God of the Word and His Son, Jesus Christ. Who wrote the Word? God wrote the Word. And when we want the Word, ultimately, we want God. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, when we want the Word, ultimately, we want the God of the Word. And in a season of revival, if we want to see revival take place in our lives, in our homes, in our families, in our church, across our nation, in a season of revival, there is an eager longing for the Word of God. Next, in a season of revival, utmost attention is given to the Word of God. Look at verses 3 through 5. And he read from it, from the word, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday. Let's just stop right there. From early morning until midday. That is 6 hours. In the heat. In the Middle East. Reading out of the Old Testament. With no nursery. No childcare, no children's church. That is 6 hours with Jude in the front row. Can you imagine? You know how often I get in trouble for going 5 minutes past noon? A.W. Tozer says, I can safely say on the authority of all that is revealed in the Word of God that any man or woman on this earth who is bored and turned off by worship is not ready for heaven. Wow. from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. That word attentive, it means that they were listening. It means that they were paying attention. They were focused in on the teaching of the Word of God. They weren't sleeping. They weren't dozing off. They weren't wondering what's for lunch. They weren't wondering if the pastor's going to let out on time. No, they're paying attention. They're giving the Word of God their highest attention. Then it says, and Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they had made for the purpose. They made a wooden platform for this very purpose, to proclaim the Word of God. This is the very first mention of a platform or a pulpit or a podium to proclaim the Word of God. And why did they do this? So that the Word of God would receive the highest attention. Listen, me being at the center of this morning, it's not about me. It's really a statement of faith as we give the Word of God our highest attention today. Then it says this, and beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, Maaseiah on his right hand, and Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchiah, Hashem, Hashbadnah, Zechariah, Meshullam on his left hand. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. 50,000 people stand to their feet in response to the words of God. Why did they stand to their feet? Because they are honoring the words of a holy God. You see, in a season of revival, utmost attention must be given to the Word of God. In our home, Macy, she's our almost 10-month-old. Her attention span is about 3 seconds right now. But if we want revival in our lives, continued revival, utmost attention must be given to the Word of God. Corporately, as a body, as a church, and also privately, individually in our homes. You see, corporately, everything we do must be centered around the Word of God. When the teaching or preaching of the Word of God happens, we must give it our highest attention. You holding your Bible open today is a statement of faith. You holding your Bible open today is a statement of faith. What you're saying today is, God, I honor these words. God, I want to abide by these words. God, I want to live out these words. What you're ultimately saying is, God, speak to me. As you hold your Bible open or your device open, your phone, however you get the copy of the Word of God, you're saying, God, I reverence these words. Speak to me, and may my life honor these words. How we practice ministry and what we do corporately as a body needs to come through the lens of the Word of God. Listen, there are many good things that we do in the life of the church that are not found in the Word of God. Things that worked for a time. Things that worked during a generational season of ministry. Things that worked that might not work any longer. But listen, if there is something good that we do or have done in the life of the church that is not found in the Word of God, then it is always on the table for change. Always. Now, there are some things that the Word of God undeniably tells us to do. By the Word of God, we know that we are called to love each other, to serve each other, to walk in unity. The Word of God clearly tells us to share the gospel, to witness, to go into all of the world. The Word of God clearly tells us to baptize, to take the Lord's Supper. We're going to do that next week. The Word of God clearly tells us to care for the orphan, to care for the widows. The Word of God clearly tells us to give financially to the purposes of God. Listen, if we're truly going to honor this book and ultimately the God of this book, we can't just pick and choose the things that we want to honor. We can't just say, well, this one's easy, so I'll do that, and this one's easy, I'll do that, but I don't really want to practice that one. Listen, if we're going to truly honor this book and the God of this book, we honor it all. We honor every bit of it. We're called to give financially to the purposes of God. Are you giving financially to the purposes of God? Are you giving beyond that to help us pay off this wonderful facility that God has blessed us with? The Word of God tells us to show compassion to the hurting, to walk in holiness. The Word of God tells us to have a plurality of elders leading the church. We're talking more about that tonight. I invite you to come and be a part of that. The Word of God tells us to worship corporately, to fellowship intimately, to confess sin. The Word of God tells us to forgive each other. Listen, if it is in the Word, we must honor it wholeheartedly. If it's not in the Word, it's always on the table for tweaking, changing, or doing away with. We're called to preach the Word. Paul told Timothy, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. You see, we must give the Word of God our highest attention, corporately, as a body, and also privately, as individuals, as families. You want revival in your life today? You want a change in your life today? Open the book. Open the book and see what God has for you. See what God wants to show you. See what God wants to teach you. Open the book and give it your highest attention. Next, in a season of revival, a worshipful response occurs because of the Word of God. Look at verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen. Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Notice what's going on. The people of God are responding to God in worship because of the Word of God. Notice what they're doing. They're saying, Amen. Amen. They're lifting up their hands. They're bowing to the ground with their faces on the ground, and they're worshiping God Almighty. Now, these are actions that we normally associate with music, but notice that it's in response to the Word of God. They're not worshiping the Bible. They're worshiping the God of the Bible. Notice the response of the Kimyal people as they receive the New Testament in their language for the very first time. Notice their response.
Thank you. Nangimsilam. Naneo. Naneo. Yesu Kristo tsimiyona. Andile blorwane ka tlida singe tlida do bona re sa ri ba nidi. Emi ong sa yang nem lo nulo ma bo anda. Na ba ba yana se wala nne lo emi ong le. Yo yo ra bi yo ra bi yo nang ri ya ba ki lam na anda. Andi sambi blum de li yo ra ka li ri mi ong da ma walu la mo. Sambi blum ari nen ngel sum nen da ngala sa. Na ne yo sum nen na ram nang sa ri dong sal ban di ya. Neri so ara de blum nu na. Emi on di bawo me asum na ne gib na di sa ya dang kala se emi on ala ana ga gib kende gib lab na amen
dingen utpi wona na na ne mi on gib lam nu na bo ga na yo kombo ne di masyarakat emi on mabo ni sinap di sini miung saya ngingeng ulam opti, nabi ngingeng ulam niu. Neri ingin nak gigit pelawa biu pertanyaan lama apa rosengi na. Tapi ngingeng lam nungun, nengi kena gigit pesarop pesingding kayo.
Ane miung tu nak butna ane tatiwa, nungi ngingeng opsi, nungi alkitab atau wapti. Ambusin pun nungi buat apa tau, tapi miung di ular opni di sini nungi buat apa nungi ngingeng kanga tu tapa.
Kang tu bisa puluhan nena, ngingeng lok. Ini yang siapa yang agak bebnak long, ngingeng ulam sih yo. Tapi ini yang siapa bebnak dia libop. Kami nena, anda semua nena ulam kumpul. Semua nena, ini yang demi Yesus kada sudah bisa kumpul. Ini yang diibu nena, membib siang. Panu nena di mana dia siang semua nena, sembib non, ngingeng ulam nyo.
Anesonimina, imiung di ibu, gimya ibu rahib memeru bahagia. Nundi sari dobi piwenena, nundi mabu mok mabak depsi. Tiun malukol jungko gop, sumakro gop. Wenena nundi ibu rahib nenege salba hepto. Tiun nundi mabak depsiipa. Siktina sikte lim sik mabak anege, ombatta balam sikpa. Sikat nuna nason, imasa jungko gop sembia sikpa.
Pep nak dilim na, sum na na. Emi yung na na yung nga ba, tiplam na. Ano siya? Di man di ayaw na nga lakdaip niya siya. Di man di ayaw na nga na. Wini ako, dipla ako. Di man di ayaw na nga dilala ako buka. Sampai kukuprak na orum nila.
Season of revival, the worshipful response occurs because of the Word of God. Please understand that the preaching of the Word and the study of the Word of God is an act of worship. The study of the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God doesn't come after worship. The study of the Word of God is an act of worship from your heart back to God, and it should usher in a response back to God because of His beautiful word. In a season of revival, a worshipful response occurs because of the Word of God. Next, in a season of revival, there is a clear understanding of the Word of God. Verses 7 and 8. Also Jesha, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbathiah, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kelida, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, the Levites, helped the people to understand the law. While the people remained in their places, they read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. What's going on here? This is basic Bible exposition. The Levites are helping the people of God understand the Word of God clearly. You see, there are times in our marriage where Brittany has to work hard to understand me. Every now and then. There are times in our marriage where I have to work hard to understand my wife. Every now and then. But listen, it's worth it. It's worth it. And sometimes understanding the Word of God, sometimes it takes a little bit of work. It takes a little bit of sweat. It takes a little bit of time to understand the Word of God clearly, but it's worth it. In this day and age, we are so blessed with the technology and the resources that we have to be able to understand the Word of God clearly. Things like study Bibles and good commentaries and good sources on the web. We are so blessed to be able to have the things that we have today to be able to understand the Word of God. So let us, as a people, do our best to understand the Word of God clearly. Study this thing. It's worth it. It's an amazing, amazing book. Talk to a friend. Ask a pastor. Before you study the Word of God, before you come into a time of corporate worship or personally at home, you pray and you ask God, God, speak to me. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Help me to understand the Word of God. In a season of revival, there is a clear understanding of the Word of God. Next, in a season of revival, there is brokenness and joy over the conviction of sin. Verses 9 through 12. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept as they heard the words of the law." Stop right there. They're weeping. As they study the Word of God, they're weeping. Why are they weeping? Because they're being convicted of their sin. They're being broken over their sin as they heard the words of the law. They're being made aware of their sin because the Word of God is revealing their sin to them. They're coming to understand that the Babylonian captivity that they're just coming out of as a people was because of their sin. The reason the wall surrounding Jerusalem had been demolished was because of their sin. The state that they were in as a people was because of their sin. It was because of their sin. And they're hearing these words and they're coming to understand their sin and it's breaking them and they're weeping because of their sin. But then all of a sudden, their weeping turns to joy. Verse 10, then he said to them, "Go your way. Eat the fat and drink sweet wine and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing because they had understood the words that were declared to them. I love that. It says they went on their way to make great rejoicing. They go from weeping because they're being convicted of their sin to great rejoicing. Why are they rejoicing? They're coming to understand the mercies of God. The Word of God is revealing His mercy to them. You see, God would have had every right to do away with the children of Israel. They had failed him and failed him and failed him and messed up and sinned and sinned and sinned again. And they become convicted of their sin. And then all of a sudden, they're reminded of the mercy of God. What's God do? He restores them. He restores their city. He forgives their sin. He gives them their word, the word, and they come to understand that the joy of the Lord will be their strength. Listen today, if the word of God is convicting you of something, if the Spirit of God is convicting you of something, yes, this should break you. This should break me. But at the same time, if the word of God is convicting you of something today, this should bring you great joy. This means that God is wanting to do something in you. God is wanting to revive you. God is wanting to renew you. God is wanting to restore you. So today, if the word of God is convicting you of something, that's a good thing. Receive the conviction of the word of God. He's wanting to do something in you. He's wanting to make you more like himself. He's wanting to draw you closer to him. But that brings great revival. And lastly, in a season of revival, the people obey the word of God. Hang on here. Verses 13 through 18. Don't close your Bibles. The people obey the word of God. It says this, on the second day of the heads of the fathers' houses, all the people with the priests and Levites came together to Ezra, the scribe, in order to study the words of the law. So they're not done. They came back the next day. Teach us some more. Give us some more. We want more of the word of God. And they found it written in the law that the Lord had commanded by Moses that the people of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim it and publish it in all their towns and in Jerusalem. Go out to the hills and bring branches of olive, wild olive, myrtle, palm, and other leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. What's this talking about? This is talking about the Feast of Booths. You see, in the Old Testament, the children of God, the people of God, were commanded to leave their homes for a week every single year and to go outside and to make booths or tents or temporary dwelling structures, and they were commanded to live in these for a week. And the reason they were commanded to do this was to commemorate the wilderness journey from Egypt all the way to Canaan, and the fact that God protected them during this time, and the fact that God provided for them during this time. And guess what? These people were not doing that any longer. They hadn't practiced it for centuries, and they're reading it in the Word of God, and they see, oh man, this is something that we should be doing. And notice what happens, verse 16. So the people went out and brought them and made booths for themselves, each on his roof and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the square at the water gate, and in the square at the gate of Ephraim, and all the assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in the booths. For from the days of Jesha, the son of Nun, to that day, the people of Israel had not done so. They hadn't been obeying the word of God. And I love this next line. And there was very great rejoicing. You see, obedience to the word of God should bring great rejoicing. It should bring great revival. They go from not doing something that they're supposed to be doing as a people to seeing it clearly read in the word of God to obeying what it's said to do. You see, in a season of revival, there is clear obedience to the word of God. Obedience to the word, it always brings revival. I don't know about in your home, but in my home, obedience doesn't always make sense to my kids. I'll say, Colson, Jude, do something, and this is normally the response. Why, Daddy? Why, Daddy? Listen, obedience to the word of God doesn't always make sense. It just doesn't. It doesn't always make sense. Most of the time, it probably doesn't make sense. But revival takes place when we choose to obey the word of God, even if it doesn't make sense. Even if it goes against our flesh, Even if it goes against the ways of culture, against the ways of the world, obedience always brings blessing. Obedience always brings revival. In closing, quickly, how can we apply this message to our life? These aren't in your outline, but I encourage you to write these down. Number one, let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. You might say to me this morning, well, Caleb, I don't like to read. You know how blessed we are as a people, like I said earlier? We are so blessed. We have the word of God at our fingertips. We are so blessed. You might say, well, I don't like to read. How amazing is it that at our fingertips, as you're getting ready for your day, or you're driving to work, or you have a little bit of downtime, to be able to pull out at your fingertips the Word of God and to study the Word of God, or even to hear the Word of God.
A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
We have access to the Word of God like no other people in history. There's so much that we allow to dwell in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives. What if we replace all of that junk with the Word of God? Paul says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Next, give the Word my utmost attention, privately and corporately. This means to study it daily. I mean, you have access to this amazing, amazing book. Study it daily. When you come to a place of worship, come with your word ready to hear the word of God. Give it our attention privately, but at the same time, give it our attention corporately. Let's come with an expectation that God's word is going to speak to us as a people. And lastly, we must obey the word of God. James says, be doers of the word of God. Not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be what? He will be what? He'll be blessed in his doing. You see, whenever you give the Word of God attention, your utmost attention, you obey what it says to do, even when it goes against the grains of culture, the grains of the world, you'll be blessed in what you do. I love the Word of God. Don't you love the Word of God? Ultimately, what the Word of God points us to is Christ. The Word of God points us to Christ. And when we want the Word of God, ultimately what we want is Christ. I'm going to ask you a really serious question this morning. And I hope and pray that you hear my heart. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. Nothing like that. I just hope and pray that you hear my heart because it is a pastoral concern for you. For all of us. My question to you is this. It's really an eternal question. Do you love the Word of God? Do you long for the Word of God? Because like I said earlier, when you ultimately long for the Word, you're longing for God. You're loving God. So do you long for the Word of God? Hear my heart on this next statement. Please hear my heart on this. Because if you don't long for the Word of God, there might be a chance that you might not be a Christian. I'm not trying to be legalistic here about reading it so much a day. I'm not saying anything like that. What I am saying is this. If you can go a couple weeks, couple months, without ever cracking this book, there might be a chance you might not be a Christian. I hope and pray you hear the heart behind that statement and that question. Because when we truly love God, when we truly love God, as the Bible tells us, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. When we truly love God, we're going to love His Word. Right? We're going to long for His Word. If someone comes to me and says, Caleb, I got a book for you. All you have to do is go through this book, and this book will tell you everything that you need to know about your spouse. Guess what I'm going to be doing? I'm going crazy through that book. Same thing with the Word. He's given us His Word. You want to get to know God? You do it through His holy, holy Word. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Would you answer this question to yourself? Again, I'm not trying to make you feel bad if you don't have your Bible today. I'm not trying to make you feel bad if you haven't read your Bible in 2 or 3 months. I'm not at all. I'm just trying to be real with you. When you love God, you will love His Word. Do you love His Word? Are you truly a follower of Christ? Are you truly a Christian? Or have you truly repented of your sin and placed your faith in Christ? Not that you prayed some prayer a long time ago. It's not what I'm saying. But have you truly repented of your sin and placed your faith in Christ and turned from the ways of the world and set your gaze fully on the Lord God? You can do that this morning. Repent of your sin and place your faith fully in Christ. Realize the mercy of God that the people come to understand as they were weeping. You call on Him to save you and say, Jesus, I want to follow You from this point forward the best that I know how. And you make a commitment to follow Him, and you follow Him through His Word. Maybe today you know that you're a believer. You know that you love God. You've really gotten sidetracked with the ways of the world, and the Word of God has really been placed third, fourth, fifth, sixth on your list. Maybe today you just need to repent of that. Receive the mercy of God. He's calling you back to Him. Maybe today you need to make a commitment that there's not going to be a day goes by where you're not going to get into His Word. Yeah, there might be days where you have to miss because of certain things that come up, but you're going to get right back into it. Make a commitment today. Maybe today you're in this place and you're a follower of Christ, but you've never been baptized. Come tell me in just a minute. We want to make that right for you today. Maybe today you've been coming to this church for a while, but you haven't made a commitment to lock arms with us and to come and be a part of what God's doing here. Listen, we need you in this place. We want you on the team. Come tell me this morning. We'll start the process. Maybe today you need prayer for something. There's something that's going on in your life that you need prayer for. In just a moment, we're going to have people up here who would love to pray with you. God, we thank You for Your Word. Help us to be a people of the Word. Help us to be a people of the book. That if the Word says it, we're going to honor it. We're going to do what it says. We're going to live it out. We're going to give our attention to the Word. We're going to long for the Word. Because ultimately, when we long for the Word, we long for the God of the Word. Thank You, God, for Your Word. That we have it in our language, that we're able to learn more about You, that we're able to be convicted of our sin, that we're able to understand Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. We're able to see His redemption through the Word. Oh God, help us to be a people of the Word. God, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Church family, this time is for you. This time is for you to respond to God, to receive his graces, to worship him, to thank him for his word. If you need prayer for something, you receive prayer. If you'd like to be baptized, you come tell me. We'll make that happen. If you'd like to join this church, come tell me. We'll start that process. As we stand and as we sing, you respond to God. Word of God's peace.